This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman joins to look back and as a way of anticipating forward for boosters, for rocket launches globally. Bob, a very good evening to you. You have a very careful charting here. It looks like you're handicapping horse races. However, it looks to be attached to private companies as well as sovereign states. How should I read this graph? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, every year I keep track of the launches done by everybody during the year. And at the end of the year, I do a global launch industry summary of the previous year. And so this past week, I published this long breakdown of what was done. And so it's based upon that graph you mentioned, which lists all the launches, rocket launches successful in the 21st century since 00. And, of course, 24 was a very, very, very significant year in every way. And as I say in the headline of the article, it was a year of amazing highs and depressing lows with the best yet to come. And so you got to go through this. So, the graph is there. People can just look at it. But I then spend a lot of time breaking it down and analyzing. So let's start with America first, John. In the United States, this up and down aspect was most pronounced. In fact, of any place, the U.S. had both pluses and minuses. The big plus was the number of launches. The U.S. did 157 launches, and most of them were by SpaceX. And this was a record by far, and SpaceX set a record that was absurd. It so dominated the industry that its 137 launches in 24 exceeded the rest of the entire global launch industry combined, and that includes other American companies. As I say on the website, a single American private company launched more than every other nation and company combined in the entire world. If a science fiction writer proposed this 20 years ago, no one would consider it plausible, but that's what SpaceX has done. And it topped the year off, of course, with its capture of the Super Heavy booster in October, on its way back, something that no one had expected on the very first try. They succeeded. And all their success, it has to do with that reusability. They introduced reusability. It's made it possible for them to launch rockets almost like airline operations. And that's significant because they've demonstrated that rockets can be run that way. They are not the only positive thing. Rocket Lab doubled its total launches in 24. They are still a smaller company with a smaller rocket, but they're going to introduce a new big rocket next year. Now, that's the good news. There was other piece of really good news. ULA launched its Falcon rocket for the first time twice. And so they're on the verge of finally being able to launch regularly with this new rocket. Those are the highs.
Bob, I want to contribute something and I need an interpretation. Over the last week or so, I was able to speak with Eric Berger of Ars Technica for his new book, Reentry, which is about SpaceX from the invention of Falcon 9 to right where we are right now. And about that number, 137, it's not – what I've learned is the way SpaceX conducts itself is similar to how the Liberty ships were built in the Second War. In other words, you were prefabbing a lot of things coming together for the assembly. I believe it was in a port in Washington State. But they then set up a competition with themselves. It's not enough to build one a month or one a week. We need to do this every 2 days, which is their record now. And they drive it, not just reusability, but everything is streamlined for the pacing. And that is something that everybody could do, Bob. It isn't just SpaceX. In other words, the reentry technology is wonderful to be able to land on a barge or land on ground and reuse the rocket. Everybody can do that. But the speed, the turnover, that was always available, Bob, but they don't follow it at the big companies.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, John. This has to do with SpaceX and Musk's point that it's not the design of a new thing that's really significant. What's significant is, can you develop a manufacturing process, or in this case, an operational process, that functions fast and efficiently? And he's focused on that. He doesn't just build things. He builds things with the intent to be able to operate fast. As the CEO of SpaceX noted a year or two ago, they're not doing launches so much as managing a fleet of rockets right now. And that's really the case. They have a fleet of first stages they reuse over and over again and only introduce a new stage maybe twice a year, maybe once or twice a year. And so that's a whole different approach. And like I say, it's like an airline operation. You know, with airlines, the most efficient thing you can do is keep your planes in the air. They fly, they land, they get the passengers on and off, and they fly again and keep them flying. Well, that's essentially what SpaceX is trying to do. And they also have multiple launch teams in different locations so that they can, toggle between one and the other and keep going. And so that's the really big high, but I want to talk about the low. The okay. low in 24 is a significant one. In 21, this is going back to the beginning of the Biden administration, the U.S. had a whole bunch of new rocket companies, startups, that were on the verge of getting launched, and they were really primed to dominate the global launch industry. They would have been the initial competition to SpaceX, a big deal. And yet, in the last 4 years in the Biden administration, one by one, these companies have exited the market. They're gone. Some of them just delayed their launches until after, like 3 to 5 years later. Others had money problems. Others had technical problems, but then couldn't raise additional funds to keep going. And one Virgin Orbit went bankrupt because red tape in the UK destroyed it. It couldn't fly, and it had cash flow problems and went bankrupt. Why has this all happened in the last 3 years? And it's very clearly comes back significantly to the very difficult regulatory framework the FAA introduced in the spring of 21. This is only about 3 months after Biden took power. They call it Part 450 regulations. And Part 450 was supposed to streamline the licensing process. And instead, by all accounts, it choked these new companies to death. That's really what happened. I've talked to lots and lots of people, and to get something approved, a new rocket approved, a new space launch site approved, to get anything approved took so long that these companies started to have cash flow problems. And because of the regulatory problems, investors were no longer interested in investing because they saw that the rockets aren't going to take off. They're not going to be able to make money. And so this destroyed all these new companies. And it caused, of course, and we've reported this many times, it caused serious problems for both SpaceX developing Starship Super Heavy and Rocket Lab, both of which slowed their development down in a bunch of different things. Like, for example, I suspect one of the reasons Rocket Lab has stopped trying to make its Electron rocket first stage reusable is because of the licensing problems, the regulatory framework. It just was too much problem. They're coming out with a new rocket, so they might as well just focus on that instead. And so that's the bad news in the U.S., and I think the new Trump administration is going to change this because it'll want to bring things back to the way it was during the first Trump administration, where you suddenly had the ability of American companies to make progress. And I'm sure that Elon Musk, in his many conversations with Trump, has brought this issue up without any question. So that's the situation in the U.S., John, both plus and minus. And it's good and it's bad, but there's hope because of the new administration.
And Blue Origin, Bob, it's often mentioned as the necessary because SpaceX needs competition.
Right.
And Boeing has fallen out for reasons to do with corporate mysteries. But but Bezos is pouring lots of money. That's like the world's biggest NGO. He's pouring lots of money into it. And they've got an engine, and they're behind. However, I don't know if they have the same vision of reusability in space.
Well, yes, they do, John. Let's get right to it. Blue Origin has, once again, this is one of the bad parts, but maybe not so bad. Blue Origin did not complete the first orbital launch of New Glenn, its New Glenn reusable rocket in 24, like they promised many, many times. They now have a launch date set for January 5th. or January 6th, actually. January 6th, just a few days from now.
Monday the 6th, is the date Monday?
Yes, that's right. If that happens, it's very early in the morning, so it's in some places it's actually on the 5th. The point is, if this happens, then they will finally enter the market. And it is a reusable rocket. They're going to attempt to land the first stage on their landing platform ship, on this launch. Whether they'll succeed the first time is, of course, unknown. It's unlikely. But they're going to try. And it could succeed. And so they're definitely there. And both Blue Origin and ULA have lots of launch contracts. They have to, and they got to get those launches off. And so we should expect some positive things from
Are they built to manufacture in the same fashion SpaceX is?
And that I can't answer. We're going to find out. They seem to be delivering BE-4 engines to both ULA and to themselves at a faster pace. And the question is whether they'll be able to do it at the pace necessary for both companies to launch. I should point out, though, that if the reusability thing comes through, they won't have to produce as many engines because they'll reuse them.
A detail about reusability I learned. It's not just that it's reusable. It's that it's reusable X number of times. That cuts the overhead. And so you have an advantage in the marketplace. Is Blue Origin thinking of advantage in the marketplace because it lives so much on cash from Bezos?
You know, the whole point of the reusability is exactly what you say. You lower your cost, you can lower your price. What Bezos plans to do, I can't speak to, because the guy has not functioned like a company trying to make profit. It's basically functioned almost like a hobby of his, with his gigantic resources of cash. He's spending money on it. And so they haven't functioned like a competitive company. They've been too slow, and they've taken too much time. So I have no idea what will end up happening. But if it starts to produce and fly like it should, then yes, it's going to be competitive with SpaceX, and that'll be a good thing. We should go on to Europe and the other major players in this, because there's a lot to talk about there. China continues to fly, continues to use its pseudo-capitalist policies to create fake companies to compete with each other for contracts, and that actually does work. Those companies don't have any guarantee they'll survive if the government wants to take them over, but they at least it's making them somewhat of a space powerhouse, and we should expect some really big things from them in 25. In Europe, they did only 3 launches this year in Europe, the Arianespace, and that's the lowest total in almost 2 decades. But in Europe, there was a significant policy change in 24 that bodes well for the future. They basically accepted the capitalism model, whereby the European Space Agency and its member nations no longer will have their government-run Arianespace launch monopoly running everything. Instead, they're going to become customers. They're buying their launch services now for many competing private companies. Now, these are startups. They've got to get moving, but there's about a dozen of them, many of which very close to launch. Essentially, what Europe appears to have been doing is setting itself to grab the market share that those American startups in 20 lost, weren't able to get because they were squelched. And Europe is really primed right now to grab that market share right now, and it's a big deal. And, of course, Russia is continuing to fade, very few launches. I don't expect them to go anywhere in the future, Don. It's just a shame. But they set themselves up to be, once again, a Soviet-style single corporation run by the government, Roscosmos. And without that, there's no competition, and there's corruption, and therefore they don't accomplish very much.
Final question, Bob, for the year 24. Where do you expect a surprise? Anywhere? Could you guess for 25 what either sovereign state or startup to surprise us, or everything is built in already?
The surprises here, I think, will come from things that we can't predict, like accidents, failures, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing will surprise me right now,
okay.
But the variables are so great that it's hard to say. I do talk in the long global report on Behind the Black what I think might happen, and most of it is positive, having to do with the fact that most countries of the world are accepting the capitalism model. India is doing it. Europe is doing it. China is doing it in a way. The U.S. hopefully will come back to it now. with the Trump administration. And so I think that more than anything else will lead to a very, very prosperous future, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.